Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning! How we doing at 4:01? McMonagle here with you on this glorious Friday. Your boy been. How's he been? How's that? How's Chris Kreider been? It's up to you, Chris. What a performance as Chris Kreider puts the Rangers on his back. Gets three goals in the third period consecutively. They call that a natural hat trick. I don't know what was natural about it because it seemed supernatural. Impressive from Chris Kreider as the Rangers take care of business and win in six. No, there is no game seven. No, they did not blow a 3-0 lead. No, they did not. Despite the fact it looked every bit of a game seven as we entered just about halfway through the third period, it looked like game seven was a guarantee. It looked like the Rangers were going to get beat for the third consecutive game and have to head home with their tail between their legs, hanging on to the idea that the Rangers are 8-1 in game sevens in their building. Hanging on to the idea that, hey, they have the best goalie. Hey, momentum in these series can come and go. Hey, we were the best team all year. We have to, remember that. And instead of hanging on to that, they go out there and Chris Kreider and Igor Shesterkin put the team on their back and have one of the incredible performances we've ever seen. And early on in this game, they were getting, outplayed. There's just no two ways around it. They're outplayed pretty much this entire game, and particularly that third period, where they're down 2 goals, where they're down 3-1 in the third. And the Rangers were going to have to try and do something to get some scoring chances because all game, nothing, right? The same typical stuff, the same things we've been talking about this team all year. I mean, let's be honest. All the problems with this team, they were a half a period away from having to deal with that in a real serious way, where everything said about them was about to become true. Not a good playoff team because of the idea they depend so much on the power play. They don't get anything 5-on-5. Well, that's what it was looking like. Oh, it's a soft team. Panarin disappears in the playoffs. Zibanejad has done nothing in the big spots. All the fears, everything about this team that anybody had a problem with, and a lot of Ranger fans themselves, as I think a bunch of real Ranger fans out there were very, very, very nervous about this team and about the way this series was going and felt like it was over. And didn't give them much of a chance in a game seven. It felt like this team had folded and collapsed and they were going to blow this thing. It felt like even after one loss, Ranger fans were ready to jump off the bandwagon of what this team has been all year. And then certainly after the Martinook play, which in the second period when Lindgren has a goal, it gets through Anderson. It's about to go in. And Martinook makes this incredible sliding save with his stick to stop a clear goal. That would have, given them a 3-2 deficit heading into the third period instead of a 2-goal deficit. And it just felt like from that moment on, it just wasn't going to be the Rangers' night. And then in the third period, early on, because they're down 2 goals, they have to kind of create some chances and lighten up defensively. And they are getting absolutely bombarded with offensive chances. You got pucks going off the post left and right. Igor has to make these incredible saves, and it just feels like the ice is tilted. They need to do something here in the third period, and instead they're being completely outplayed, and then they get that first goal. That little bit of a fluky goal, the same one kind of Lafreniere scored in game 4, that tough angle, laying right between Anderson and the post, and somehow Chris Kreider is able to just shove it through and get a goal that completely changed the game. And from that point on, Chris Kreider became a miracle worker and gets the natural hat trick. They get the power play on a cross check. He scores on a deflection, and then you just knew it. And it felt the ice time, everything had changed. The momentum had completely changed. The game had completely changed. That first goal changed the momentum. That second goal changed the outcome. They were not going to lose that game, and they still needed great plays from Igor Shesterkin. A puck kind of takes a funny bounce right off a face-off and lands right on a stick right in front of him, and he makes a point-blank save. I mean, so many big plays in that third period that completely changed the game and obviously completely changed the series. And this Ranger team gets off the deck. This Ranger team finds a way from two goals down in the third period, and Chris Kreider cements himself. He was already the longest tenured Ranger. He was already the franchise leader in playoff goals. Last night's performance to get that hat trick, the first time in NHL history where a player goes in and changes a two-goal deficit to a one-goal lead with a natural hat trick. The first time ever, three consecutive goals by the same player to turn around a two-goal deficit in the history of NHL playoffs. That's how special what we watched was last night. And Chris Kreider has cemented himself as a Ranger hero and legend. There's just no way around it. When you do that, considering what he's already done, no one will ever wear that number again. It's going to be retired, and that is a legacy-changing sequence there to get those three goals. Now, they still have eight more wins to go, and they get to sit back and watch whether it's going to be Florida or Boston, and either team is going to be a tough go of it. But I believe in this Ranger team. I've always believed in this Ranger team, and they have shown me nothing but resiliency. And yes, you know, do they need to be better 5-on-5? Of course. Of course. Do they need to stop some of these chances point blank? Yeah. Does Igor continue to have to stand on his head? Yes. Do they have to continue playing the level they played on the penalty kill? Yeah, probably. It's not going to be easy. But we have now seen that when they're faced with adversity, this team that had led the NHL and come from behind goals all year long, there is nothing they can't recover from. There is nothing, whether it be a series completely tilted in momentum, whether it be a game completely tilted in momentum, whether it be a two-goal deficit in a third period, staring a game seven off a three-game lead right in the face. Chris Kreider and this New York Ranger team and Igor Shesterkin said, not tonight. One of the great just changing, as far as a fan, it doesn't get better. You're sitting there with your head in your hands trying to figure out how the hell they're going to win a game seven, and then all of a sudden, life changes. And the grass starts growing and the flowers start blooming, and the Rangers change everything in the matter of minutes. What a crazy night it was. What a crazy game it was. What a special night for this Ranger team. And hopefully we get the same thing tonight. Hopefully the Knicks can do exactly what the Rangers did, go on the road on a game six and end a series. And it's going to be tough. They did not have the ability of leaning back on the idea they'd won a game on the road already. The Knicks don't have that. They were 0-2 in Indiana. And Indiana, this group with the bench and the role players that always play better at home, coming off the last time they were there, a 32-point victory, this is going to be tough for the Knicks. But what they do have is the momentum off Game 5 and the idea that Brunson looked healthy. Hartenstein seemed not to be limited at all with his shoulder, went out there and got a million offensive rebounds, and that's what's going to have to continue. And ultimately, for me, they have Brunson. Who does Indiana have? Because you know what? They're supposed to have Halliburton, and this is a game of adjustments. Well, Tibbs made the first of adjustments in Game 5, putting Miles McBride in the game in the starting rotation to try and shut down Halliburton, and it worked. How do the Pacers respond? How does Halliburton respond after taking 9 shots and passing up on layups in a game while his team was getting blown out? How does that no-show change heading home to Indiana? And I'm not sure it does. And I'll say the same thing I said about the Rangers. I'll say it about the Knicks. I expect them to compete in this game. I expect it to be a close game. I expect the Rangers to have a real good chance to win it. But even if they don't, the Rangers are winning. The Knicks are winning this series. They are not losing a Game 7 in Madison Square Garden. And they will be moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals as well. The Garden Party rides on. 877-337-6666. Daniel in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, so surprise, surprise. Good morning, Chris.
Surprise, surprise. It's a hat trick. What's up?
Yeah, well, if I told you, I wasn't calling, but
that's
my,
right.
my body clock kept me up, and because I went to bed at 9 o'clock. I'm going to pick up my laundry. Beyonce's sleeping. And the Rangers, man, I went to bed at 9 o'clock. I saw 3-1. I'm like, I wasn't worried. Because you know what?
You weren't worried.
How can you be worried when you got Chris Kreider, the all-time leading playoff scorer in Rangers history, on your team? You know, what a game. I mean, I didn't watch it, but hey, I prepared myself, you know what?
I hear you.
But hell, he's my favorite Ranger. I got the shirt.
I think he's everybody's favorite Ranger this morning. Just an incredible performance. And Igor, too.
Man.
Like, I don't think Igor will get lost in it just because of how great he was the entire series, but I mean, he made point blank saves. I mean, he saved that game multiple times. At the beginning of the third period, I thought they were going to score another two goals. Like, the ice was completely tilted. They hit a couple of posts. He made great saves. And early on in the game, Igor kind of looked a little shaky. He didn't let up bad goals necessarily, but he looked a little timid with the puck, which is typically a strength of his. It looked like he didn't want to ice it. He didn't want to, you know, stop the puck. He didn't want to set up a. He wanted to keep it in play. He looked funky with the puck a little bit. He looked uneasy. And all of a sudden, when the game changed, so did he. And it was complete. He was completely lights out. He completely saved this team. He was incredible in this game. And, I mean, right now, the two of them and this team heading into a series that I think they have an excellent chance to win. Last night was as fun as it gets, man. And then we're followed by tonight. It never ends. This is just an incredible time.
The Knicks, definitely, they're going to do it. Like I said, I predicted it 6. And it's kind of funny. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and I said, oh, I'm a regular now on the fan, you know, Danny from Belrose.
Yeah.
And I said the Kreider is going to do it. I predicted it. I said Kreider is going to do it tonight. I said it around like 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And look at that. Look what happened.
Thank you, Danny. If you didn't say, honestly, Dan, if you didn't say it, would it have happened? Like, honestly, we know? We don't know.
My father always told me, I know you had a close relationship with your father. My father passed back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
He always told me, you be careful what you say. It could be positive and negative, but when you say positive things, you have power in your words, and things happen.
And Danny, and thank you, and good luck. Are you getting married today?
Tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow.
Tonight's the rehearsal dinner.
Well, enjoy. Have a great time. Good luck. Take care of yourself. Don't do anything stupid. I don't know what that means. He's not going on a bachelor party. He's getting married. But still, we've seen it before. Ease up before you get out there. But yes, you did it. Thank you so much. If you wouldn't have... We had so many guys who knew. I mean, we've had at least 10 callers who knew it was going to happen. It's amazing.
I was going to say, if we did a compilation of all the guys, that could take you to... You could go home now.
Right.
I'll just take you straight to 5 o'clock.
Oh, so everyone knew. Everyone knew it was going to be Kreider. Everybody knew they were going to come back. I wasn't worried. You guys are all full of it. I saw your comments on social media. I heard you calling all week long, or at least over the last couple days after game five. You were afraid. You Ranger fans, really, honestly, I'm sorry. I was disappointed over the last couple days with Ranger fans. And then I'm talking to my buddies who are Ranger fans. I'm looking on social media, and it's pretty much like, well, I don't think we have a chance in Game 7. Like, it was ridiculous. Too much lost faith in this team. All year long, they've been the best team in hockey. And I understand once that momentum changes, and look, I think they've put it to bed now. I think honestly, that's it. There's no more talking points of 2 years ago against Tampa being down 2-0. We could forget the Devils last year being down 2-0. I mean, being up 2-0 and blowing it. That's it. It's over. They were up 3-0. They didn't blow it. They've moved on. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. Nothing but confidence in this team. Now, I don't know if they'll win. I'm not guaranteeing victory in the next series. But I promise you this, they will continue to fight. I do not think this is a soft team. I do not think this is the team we've seen over the last handful of years. I believe in this group. And it took something Herculean, no doubt. It took something crazy. This is not your typical, you know, they were outplayed for a lot of this game. And I don't want to hear they were outplayed for a lot of the series. I don't buy that. They were outplayed really badly in Game 5. Other than that, sure, there were spurts of every game, and maybe most of this game, to be fair. But they the narrative that they were even outplayed during their victories, I don't buy it. Yes, they were outshot. I don't think they were outplayed. I don't think the legitimately good scoring chances were heavily in the favor of Carolina. I don't. And yes, they scored some power play goals. And their goalie was excellent. And people say, well, that was masking it. How is that mad? That's the team, you dopes. Oh, they were masking victories with power plays and goalie play. Oh, I'm sorry. Should we not have prepared for that? I didn't know that. I didn't know power plays and excellent goalie play wasn't allowed in the playoffs. I hated that narrative. Oh, my God. You guys are nuts. But that's all over now. And this team just did an incredible job and had one hell of a win. And we're able to overcome again. I can't tell you that Martinook play, and I said this earlier in the show, it reminds me now, looking back on it, and I apologize to Met fans and especially Evan Roberts because I know how this hurts to his core. But now it reminds me of the Andy Chavez catch because it's one of those plays that you don't recover from. It's one of those plays that guarantee you victory. It's one of those plays that are special that if you believe in hockey or baseball or football or sports gods, the way Christopher Mandel-Russo does, those are the kind of signs that Carolina is going to win the game. That puck is going in. If he doesn't fall and slide on the ice, he's not in a position to make the play. It's a miraculous play to stop that goal a half a centimeter before it goes completely over the line. That is a goal, and that is a play that signify the end of the New York Rangers in Game 6. Much like the Andy Chavez catch, you believed, unless you're one of these pessimistic Met fans or someone who knew, just like Kreider, you knew Kreider was going to come through, you knew the Mets were going to lose anyway. When Andy Chavez makes that catch, the Mets are winning the game. When Martinook saves that goal, Carolina's winning the game. And then to have it change like this, this is why we talk about playoff hockey. This is why we talk about playoff hockey as one of the great things we get the chance to experience as sports fans. And as much as, you know, we don't talk about it much during the regular season, and it kind of gets lost, it's the fourth most popular sport, blah, 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 blah. When the games are on the line, when you get into these series, and anything can happen, it's crazy intense. And watching what the Rangers did last night and going from that low point where Martinook keeps that puck out of the net and you just got your head in your hand going, man, if they can't score when they beat the goalie, like, I mean, you beat the goalie, it's going in the back of the net and then it's miraculously stopped. If you can't score when you beat the goalie, how the hell are you going to score in this game? And then Chris Kreider said, this is how. Amazing, an amazing night, a great win. They move on. We'll wait to see who their opponent is. And then we got tonight. And the New York Knicks go into Indiana trying to do the same thing and end the series. It's just an every night garden party, and I love it. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll continue to take your phone calls till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Little Jimmy Eat World. All right, 428. McMonagle here with you, 877-337-6666. All right, let me take a quick second from the Rangers. We'll obviously get to the Rangers and Knicks this last half hour. Take your phone calls. But I do have to speak on just something that woke me up this morning. When I looked at it, it was like jarring. And I used to think some of the toughest things to look at were Larry Bird. You can't look at Larry Bird very long. It's tough. Good God. Also, for some reason, Dan Aykroyd in the movie Nothing But Trouble. I don't know if he plays a judge in a weird movie. I mean, he's falling apart. He tries to eat a hot dog in one scene. It's disgusting. I can't watch it. And now I found my third. These throwback New York Giant uniforms are hideous. They're absolutely hideous. The tan pants and the stripe red and blue, they are the ugliest things I've ever seen. But here's my problem with calling it ugly. And by the way, now we are 2 for 2 this year with hideous uniforms, because I know I'm in the minority. The Mets City Connect jerseys are ugly. I don't mind the hat with the bridge going across the bottom. I think that's actually pretty cool. But the gray sucks. They're wearing it every chance they get. They're ugly uniforms. Why, they're so dark and gray and gloomy. They're terrible. And look at their record since they started wearing them. Just pointing it out. But now these Giant ones are hideous. But here's the point I have with it. I love that they're hideous, because I think that's kind of the point. And when you, like, the throwbacks to the 80s are like, we picked that era because we like the uniforms. Right, I think the Met 86 uniform is a classic uniform. It's great. They should go back to that. But like that Giant all crisp white 80s throwback is gorgeous. The all blue is pretty damn good too. I love the helmet. It's, you throw it back because, oh, you have these throwbacks, fine. They're doing the 100-year anniversary. The point, in my mind, of throwing back to the 100-year anniversary is to have the stark contrast of what it looked like 100 years ago. So yes, it's hideous. Yes, it's disgusting. Yes, it's going to be hard to watch them play in it. But it's the point. Like the Steelers ones, right? Don't they have those old throwback to like the earliest years of the Steelers, and they're that striped? They're hideous. But it's like, oh, those are different. Those aren't just throwback to our favorite genre. This isn't like, I believe Al Dukes is one of them, the Tampa Bay Buck fans who want to throw back to the creamsicle and the pirate helmet because you love that look. And so you'll clamor for it, and maybe the team will do it or not. And if they do have a throwback, they'll go back to the classic uniforms. This is specifically, at least in my understanding of what's going on here, specifically the 100th year of Giants football. And they're going to return to the uniforms, or at least what they, you know, close to what they wore 100 years ago. And the idea that it's hideous plays into the whole thing. So, I mean, I agree. They are hard to look at. That is an eyesore. And I don't know how many times. What, are they going to wear it at least twice? They should not wear it any more than that.
At most twice.
At most twice. Oh, okay, thank God. Thank God. And looking at all the promo pictures, it's still Daniel Jones in the uniform. I'm not going to get to one. How many different uniforms does he have to wear? I don't want to get on Daniel Jones now. This is not about you, Danny, and this is not about my problems with you as the New York Giant quarterback. Not as a person. You're a great guy. I have no problem with you whatsoever. But, I mean, people are clamoring about how ugly they are. I woke up, and typically there's like the one random thing that hits right at the moment that I'm awake. Like, I'm you know, it's the sleeping pattern is still whatever. It's in the middle of the afternoon. I'll roll over, and there'll be something that has, like, Twitter abuzz at that exact moment or whatever. So, like, I rolled over today, whatever time it was, and this was the thing. I saw a bunch of pictures, a bunch of reactions to these hideous uniforms. Oh, my God, they're ugly. They're this, they're that. And while I agree, it's part of the fun of having the 100-year-specific throwback unis. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. At least that's how I view it. They're supposed to be drastic and hideous. And that's what they are. That is what they are. I mean, the tan colored pants, it's just amazing. I don't know if you could make uglier uniforms. But they'll try. And speaking of throwbacks, last night Chris Kreider gave you a throwback to Mark Messier with that performance. Look at that. Look at that transition. And you know what? I know, and I was just watching the highlights of it. And you know what I've noticed too? Like, Brodeur is hardly wearing pads. It's such a different... Things change. But anyway, I understand that last night, if you're going to try and compare the two, like I heard the morning show a few weeks ago comparing the guarantees of Mark Messier and Joe Namath, which I actually found an interesting conversation because I think... I'm with Boomer. I think the Messier guarantee is... I don't know if it's bigger culturally, necessarily. And we all know the impact of Super Bowl III, but like... The idea that who had to live up to the guarantee more, who would have been held against them had they not lived up to the guarantee, without question, it's Messier. Like, Joe Namath could have lost that game easy. He would have went, he still would have had his, you know, his pantyhose commercials or whatever. Like, he still would have had the fur coat. Like, yeah, you have to win a championship, I get it, but they were supposed to lose by 100 points. The Rangers had to win that series and had to win that game. But now if you want to look at comparing the hat tricks that we saw from Messier and Kreider, yes, last night was not an elimination game. They did have Game 7 in their back pocket. But if you're being honest and you're being fair, the idea that the third goal was an empty netter, I mean, Kreider's was kind of more impressive. It's kind of more impressive. I mean, an empty netter for the third one? Is it even really a hat trick? And he did it in 9 minutes. He completely changed the game. And he did it with an incredible deflection. Like, I mean, the skill set. I know he was right in front of the third one, to be fair. But I'm just saying, if you actually look at what it took to get them done... Yes, that was an elimination game. Yes, he guaranteed a victory and then followed it up with a hat trick. So it is more special. But just straight up, what one was more difficult to do? Which one was more impressive? I think you might be able to say Kreider. I think you might be able to say Kreider. And how it changed the game around as they were getting their ass kicked, man. They were getting their ass kicked in that game, and specifically, just as he decided to turn the game on its head, they were getting their ass kicked, in my opinion. And I know we had a caller say that the problem was Carolina sat on the lead. I don't think so at all. Maybe I was watching something else. I think you could argue that the 8 minutes at the beginning of the third period might have been the most dominant 8 periods of the whole series. And I think it was because, obviously, the Rangers were trying to take chances. But, I mean, they had off the posts. He had to make point-blank saves. Like, they were getting their ass kicked, and then suddenly that puck just sits there right between his skate and the post. Kreider decides, you know, to put it in and just gets it above his skate and slides it in. And then the whole game turned around, and Kreider did all of it. That's about as impressive as it gets, man. It's not a guarantee. It wasn't an elimination game. His, you know, his picture wasn't on the newspaper heading in, but just skill-wise and the amount of time he did it, the way the game was going just before it happened, to do it 9 minutes, to end the series, to stop a team that had a three-game lead, to be forced to play game seven, where they could have lost it could have been a historic loss that not only ends this very promising year that we all had high expectations for and ruins this President Trophy and ruins the regular season and makes us all remember this year as a absolute disaster. It also might have saved the construct of the team. Like, because we talked about it. If this team blows another lead, if they go 3 years running and blow a two-game lead and blow a two-game lead and blow a three-game lead and Panarin goes invisible and this team is, you know, soft enough to allow those losses to happen, Chris Drury might change this whole friggin' thing. So you save the season. First off, you win the game. You don't have to go play game seven. You win this series, you save the season, and you might save this core of the group that they're playing with. He might have saved his entire teammates being Rangers. 877-337-6666. So for me, there are some elements of the Messier hat trick that make it more impactful. And, of course, they go on to win the Stanley Cup. But if you're just looking at straight up amazement in changing the game and the how hard it was and how difficult it was and the ability to actually get it done, I think you could argue that Chris Kreider's hat trick is actually more impressive, especially when you take into consideration that the third one with Messier was an empty netter. John in Freehold, what's up, John?
Good morning, Chris. How are you, my friend?
What's going on? Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I think the Knicks are going to close out the Pacers.
Let's hope tonight. So. I'm not as confident as many Knicks fans. I'll be totally honest with you. I'm not.
Well, I'm going to tell you why, Chris. Because I think this Knicks team smells the blood in the water. They're a bunch of junkyard dogs. They got embarrassed and humiliated on the Mother's Day massacre, and they want to go into that building on their home floor. And I think that Pacers team is mentally broken. I think they're shot. I think they're beat up.
Yeah.
I think they know that it's over for them. And I think the Knicks are going to jump on him early, and they're going to keep the pressure on. They're not going to let him off the hook, and they're going to look to embarrass him and mop the floor with him tonight. That's my personal opinion. And they realize the importance of the extra rest leading into the Boston series.
No doubt.
And for those reasons, and Tom Thibodeau leading the charge, I think the Knicks close them out tonight.
All right, well, let me tell you why. I don't necessarily think they don't. I'm just saying why I'm not as confident as you are. I thought the Pacers were broken after game two and the complaining from their head coach, and they went on to beat the Knicks two games straight. So I agree with you. I think they are broken. I do. And I think especially Halliburton, I think he's soft and I think he's afraid to be the guy, quite honestly. At least he is right now at this point in his career, and he was last game. We'll see if he comes out firing. But I would be concerned if I'm a Pacers fan that my go-to guy doesn't want to be the go-to guy after his performance in Game 5. But I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but the mental toughness thing, at home, they've been a different team. They're yet to lose in this building, and I completely agree.
That's my point, Chris.
Yeah.
That's my point. With this team, the way they're built, their mental makeup, I think the Knicks are going to, like I said, that Mother's Day massacre annoyed them. It rubbed them the wrong way.
No doubt.
Everybody took out the shovel and buried this Knicks team after that loss and said it was over, and they were going to put the nail in the coffin and close the Knicks out in the Garden. And I think that bothered them. I think they know that was very much publicized, very much talked about. They were humiliated. They were embarrassed. And not only was Halliburton mentally checked out and shot, but they also got to Miles Turner and McConnell in that game. And I think they're scarred. I think they're mentally scarred. And I think the Knicks are going to look to make a point tonight. And they know the importance of closing this out and getting that extra rest and getting OG Anunoby back. And I think for those reasons, and like I said, with Tom Thibodeau leading the charge as head coach, I think they close him out tonight. They put him to rest.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I do think that Mother's Day game pissed them off. They still looked even pissed off at the end of game five. Like, it didn't even look like they were satisfied with returning the favor and winning by 30. I totally agree with that. And I do think that the couple of days off helps them far more then it helps the Pacers. Totally agree with that. They've got the closer. Pacers don't. I agree with that. And I'm not saying they can't win this game. And I guess I expect them to win this game on some level. I'm just not as confident because I do think the Pacers play better in this building. I do think that the style of play suit, like, and their bench and their role players will play better in this building. And I guess a lot of what I'm thinking is I don't think they have to win this game. I guess that's kind of it. Like I fully expect them to win game 7. I go into this game, I'm going to be intense. I'm looking forward to it. I want them to win badly. I don't want to have to play game 7. But if they lose this game, I have no fear that they're going to lose game 7 as long as Brunson's healthy. But you're right, Brunson's healthy. I trust him over Halliburton by a million miles. I do think the McBride decision and adjustment is something that the Pacers are going to have to show me they can adjust back to. And I do think the extra days give them some rest, and I do think they can rebound and play defense. But in that building, this team can shoot the lights out. And without OG Anunoby, there's still an issue on my mind, a little bit of perimeter defense. And I'm just not going to count out this Pacers team and the way they've played in that building and their ability to bounce back. I thought they were mentally broken after game 2, and yet they came right back and won a very close game in game 3 and then blew them out in game 4. I just, and, you know, my cliched answer, that when you get into a series and the home team wins every game, that's a difficult trend to buck late in the series. If you don't take care of business in games, if you're not the road team in game 1 or 2 or the road team in game 3 or 4 and take care of business early on in the series, when you get to game 5, 6, 7, I think it starts to just favor continuing that trend of home team, road team. Doesn't mean it can't be bucked. I mean, I expect the Knicks to give a really damn good performance and be right there late in the game. And in that scenario, I trust the Knicks far more than I trust the Pacers. But I would say, you know, to me, it's 55-45, Knicks win this game. So I'm confident. I mean, I think they have a real good chance. I'm not uber confident. But if they get to a game 7, it's 99-1. They are winning game 7. The Knicks are not losing this series. And we'll see what happens tonight. 877-337-6666. All right, one last break. We'll come back, take as many of your phone calls as possible. McMonagle here with you, rapid fire style when we get back, as I take you till 5 in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 450. McMonagle here with you. 877-337-6666. And yes, I was talking to Jerry outside, and as I was comparing and talking about the differences of the hat trick between Messier and Kreider. I mean, it is amazing the similarities, though. I mean, all three are scored in the third period. It's crazy. And as we have these, you know, comparisons to 94 as we go through all this, to have that, you know, to have these, have, you know, two games like that where the leader of the team in many ways gets, you know, for Kreider, obviously Messier was, but for Kreider to get that hat trick in the third period. Now, it was a little bit different. They were down a goal heading into the third period, not two. Doesn't matter. But, you know, they're only down one. And he scored early on in the third period. He scored 2 minutes and 48 seconds in, where Kreider was more like 8 or 9, and it was more spread out. He scored 2:48 in, then he scored 12:12 in, and then he scored 8:15 in on the shorthanded. So it was a little bit more spread out, and one was a shorthanded goal where Kreider was bang, bang, bang inside 9 minutes and changed the game. But yeah, amazing enough, as we're going through all the comparisons to 94, to have another Messier-esque performance, to have a natural hat trick change a third period deficit into a game winner is amazing. Amazing. Mitchell in Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Good morning, Chris. I got to tell you something. What a game last night! And I took my buddy out to dinner, and he was watching. And then he said, "Well, when the Rangers got down 3-1, he says, go look at the line. It went up to 500, then it went to 750. So we both put down $100 each. So we won $1,500.
Nice.
So it was the most amazing game ever. And listen, I kept on telling him the game's not over. And you saw the change in the second period when they got down even 3-1. Then when they got to the third period, it looked like they just ramped it up about 10 degrees, and they were just going crazy, the Rangers, and they had the heart to do it. And this team seems like there's nothing to stop this team. And, you know, now they get about 5 days off. They can rest, get ready to go, and it's just going to be – it's great for New York. You know what, Chris? Yeah. We haven't had anything in years to talk about with any New York teams, really. So now we got the Rangers already now in the finals.
Yep.
We got the Knicks hopefully tonight. We'll pull off a big win tonight. And then we go into the major thing. Then we got the Yankees, our hottest can be, like Chris said, we're doing terrific. And like I said to you many times, like, and everyone argued with me about Cashman. Cashman has done so far. It looks like he's doing a great job this year. LeMayo's going to be back next week, Chris. Peraza is going to be back. And, Chris, also, next Thursday, 12 o'clock game. Why don't you join me for the Yankee game? How about it?
I wish I could, buddy, but you know,
it's an afternoon game.
Yeah,
it's an afternoon game.
That's when I sleep. If I join you for a Yankee game in the afternoon, I'll be dead for 2 days. I love you,
right,
and thank you for the offer. We'll find a time, Mitch, I promise you. We will find a time to watch a baseball game together, I promise you. Maybe I'll do something for a playoff game. If you guys want to, I know Sal did that. If the overnight crew likes to do that, a Yankee playoff game, I'll meet somewhere. We'll figure that out. But afternoon's tough. I need some sleep. Sorry. Sebastian in Brooklyn, what's up, Sebastian?
Yeah, I want to talk about Chris Kreider.
Yes.
Thank God for that player, what he did last night with the three goals, the natural hat trick. And
yes.
I was right. Could I talk about the Yankees?
By all means.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the Yankees, and I'm going to talk about the Knicks. I like DiVincenzo so much, and the Yankees. I like the Yankees so much, and I like the Jets. Is there a chance that Brandon Nimmo could go and play with the Yankees?
Should I tell you what he asked me on hold?
I thought he said, you put it up here as Knicks will win tonight.
Well, he also first asked if Tom Brady's going to coach the Jets.
That'd be interesting.
It would be.
That would be very interesting. I wouldn't put it past Tom Brady. You know how I feel about Tom. He would do anything just to stay relevant. I don't know. Anywho's. I don't know about Nimmo and the Yankees. I think they're kind of set in the outfield. I don't know. Call me crazy. Hopefully Juan Soto's back. But I think they're pretty good in the outfield. They got another young outfielder coming up in the Martian and Jason Dominguez. I don't even know what his role is going to be. I would think he's going to AAA as long as everyone's hitting, everyone's playing. If Stan's going to hit and Verdugo's going to play like this, and, you know, obviously Soto and Judge, I mean, I don't know if there's room for Jason Dominguez. I just don't know. And then, you know, plus you got, you know, other guys in the minor leagues coming up, Spencer. Why am I losing?
Jones.
Spencer Jones. Thank you. I'm losing my mind. Spencer Jones. I mean, I don't think Nimmo. And I think the Mets want to hold on to Nimmo, I would think. But I don't know. The Mets are topsy-turvy. Anything could happen with those Mets right now. I mean, I can't believe the owner would comment on a story called Let's Blow It Up or Blow the Whole Thing Up. And he's like, well, that's a little premature. We got to wait till the deadline. Oh, my God. The Mets. And Stearns came out today, spoke a little bit. He expects this and he expects that. And the offense will turn around. And I'm sure it will at times, but this is what they are. I'm sorry. This is what they are. They might be a little bit better than this at times. They might be this at times. They are a streaky bunch. And I just have a feeling they're a team that's going to have a tough time putting things together. And right now for the offense to be letting them down while the starting pitching, which was clearly going to be the issue of the team, has come through and, you know, pitched really well other than a couple of bouts with, you know, walking too many guys. Manaea's been really good. Severino's been really good. Budo's come up and done a really nice job. Quintana gave you a good performance. Overall, kind of shaky, but he gave you a good performance. He's had a couple of good performances. I mean, it should be much better than this. And it took a miracle. And right now, Diaz, too. I mean, Diaz is a problem. If Diaz isn't a guarantee, if Diaz isn't a lockdown closer, the Mets have a real problem, despite the bullpen being great, despite Ottavino being great, despite Reed Garrett being one of the stories of Major League Baseball in the early parts of the season. You know, Diekman's been good. They've had a lot of, you know, their bullpen surprised, their pitching surprised. The offense stinks. Pete Alonso's done really hardly anything. He's coming alive, you know, recently. Lindor consistently still hitting 200. Jeff McNeil is, like I've told you, one of, if not the worst position players in all of baseball, in my mind. He does nothing for you. Beatty still can't hit, although he plays third base. Vientos can't play third base, although he can hit. Your catcher was lost with a thumb injury, and right now Narvaez is atrocious. And you know, Nito is your best catching option. I mean, it's just the offense stinks. And when you go up against the Atlanta Braves and the red-hot Philadelphia Phillies, you're lucky to get a game in a series. That's it. But the Yankees are hot. And I talked about it earlier, the Juan Soto stuff. I'm done with it. He's not signing a contract extension. I'm happy that Steinbrenner's talking about it because it means he's open to it. And that means he'll be willing to pony up the money he knows it's going to cost, especially if you want him to not and forego free agency. Soto's not doing it. Boris is not doing it. It's a moot point. I'm tired of as I've been saying for weeks now, Juan Soto is a Yankee. That's all I care about. And as this lineup is perked up because Judge is a monster again and, you know, has had as good of last 2 weeks as he's had in his entire career, he already has an OPS higher than Juan Soto. Think about that. All we've talked about is how miserable Judge is and how great Juan Soto is, and already Judge has a better OPS. Judge is the better player. Judge is their best player. Judge is the engine that makes it work. And so is Jalen Brunson. He is the engine that makes the Knicks work. Let's go out there and get a W and follow what the Rangers did last night. What an incredible performance from Kreider. We're going to need one from Jalen Brunson as well. Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Rangers. Everybody have a great weekend. Rami, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for calling and listening, especially Mick. And I'm sorry, Mick. It was JFK. The Beatles landed in JFK. We double-checked it. Eddie Scazzeri told me it's true, and he's never wrong. So everybody have a great weekend. Let's go, Knicks. Be well. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.